Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Welcome back.
My name is Chris.
I'm Andy.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things, the number one Stranger Things podcast in the world, but also in the top 25 of all TV and film. And to prove why that is, we're here to show you some other things that we do. Let's talk about some other TV shows and film properties that we've been watching since last we met. And in fact, since forever.
Yeah.
It's been a minute. How do we do this again?
I don't know. By the way, that tune that you were just hearing was written and performed by our very own Chris. It is glorious.
He's lying. I played it.
Yeah. It was Andy. Bow down to Andy.
Bow. See you guys.
They're bowing. Hopefully not while they're driving.
Yeah, you guys might not know
we're
this.
We're not worthy.
You guys might not know this, but Andy is the musically gifted of the bunch.
I am. I play some stuff. Mm-hmm. I play some tunes. I shred. I diddle them strings. Do we say diddle them frets? Is that what we call
it? You're looking at me as if I'm a party to
Steve,
this diddling.
You have accused me of diddling so many times. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Not
never
strings.
Proven it.
Makes me uncomfortable.
Hey, I've said you've diddled a lot of things in my time. None of it's been strings.
I wouldn't use the word gifted. I would use the word inclined.
Oh, fuck you too.
Whoa. But yeah, that's the tune that we use between seasons of Stranger Things. So it might have been jarring, so I wanted to call attention to it. But this is just something a little extra while we're waiting on Volume 2. Let's talk about some other shows and films that have been going on. Lots of stuff's been going on. We watched that too. Andy.
Yes, sir.
Drop it on us, buddy. Right off the bat. Let's just get right in.
So right off the rip. I want to point you guys in the direction of yet another streaming service.
Tubi.
Tubi. So I have gone on at length about the audiobook bonanza that I've experienced in my life in the past like couple of months where I discovered.
Oh, shit. I thought you literally meant a book called Bonanza.
No. So I.
All about the show.
I found out that you can connect your library card to streaming services, and that's how I found out about Libby and Hoopla. Hoopla. Mm-hmm. Libby is just audiobooks. Hoopla, you can also download on your streaming devices, your Apple TVs, your Chromecasts, and you can check out movies. Selection's decent, not great. Just found out about another one. This one's called Canopy. It's Canopy with a K. It has a much better selection on for streamable films, and you connect it with your local library card, and you can check out
card with a K
15 movies a month.
Mortal Kombat rules.
15 movies a month.
15 movies a month, and on Canopy, I recently watched Enemy, and as Pronounce that with a B. Enemy.
Oh, okay. I was like, what?
Enemy.
Enemy.
Enemy, directed by Denis Villeneuve, starring Jake Gyllenhaal and Jake Gyllenhaal. He plays two characters in this film. It is about a history teacher who discovers a doppelganger in his life. This film is bonkers, confusing, wonderful. It's very moody. It is very... it's a thinking man's film. It's one of those films that after I watched it, I got on YouTube and I looked up a bunch of videos trying to explain what the movie was. And then I realized most of those explanations were wrong. And so it made me like the movie even more because it made me think so much about what they were trying to do. And ultimately what I came up with is that this was actually not even really a story about things that real people were doing, but rather it's a story that's occurring within somebody's subconscious and psyche, and it's projections of who you are and who you wish that you were, and the symbolism that occurs in your life and how it can project itself into the world. It's wonderful. Jake Gyllenhaal absolutely crushes it. It's got him, it's got Melanie Laurent and a couple of other people. Melanie Laurent was Shoshana in Inglourious Bastards. Wonderful actress. I want to see her in more stuff. And it was awesome. And that was on Canopy. And I was stoked about that because the other film that I watched on Canopy was Hereditary by Ari Aster, his debut film. That movie holds up. It is spoopy and spoopy. Wonderful. And Toni Collette is a gem, and I can't believe she didn't even get nominated for an Oscar for that because she was like heartbreaking and uncomfortable and scary and great.
Yeah, one of the biggest snubs of the last decade.
Yeah, and that film, it takes a little while to get to the spooky stuff. I didn't remember having that experience, seeing it in theaters. It had been a little while since I had watched it. Sarah and I wanted to watch something spooky, and she had heard that Hereditary was wonderful, and I was like, you know what? It is. So we watched it.
Hey, girl, hey.
So it honestly takes a little while. It leans into... and it happens more with more modern horror where they lean into discomfort before they get into the scares. And Ari Aster very much went that route with Hereditary, but it pays off in dividends. There's still, even knowing it was coming, there's some imagery that occurs in the third act of that film that like gives me chills and like genuine like terror chills, not just like, ooh, that was really good cinematography. It's like, oh, fuck, that's scary. And it's great, 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 great film. But I bounced around a whole bunch on the streaming services that I was watching stuff on recently. I'm not going to talk about it at length because I expect, Chris, that you are going to talk about it here in a moment. But on Amazon Prime, I watched Coherence, an indie film directed by James Ward Burkett. That movie is essentially Schrodinger's cat as a film. It is a group of friends.
Well, I want to counsel that we not say too much. Mm-hmm. Maybe like there's a lot to talk about the film, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but I didn't watch a trailer. I didn't know anything other than sci-fi film, thriller, and low budget. Right.
Sure.
I think you told me one location, and that's what's got me really excited because that's kind of one of my things. Like, I'm really fascinated by one location scripts, but I didn't know anything else. And I recommend that going in.
Absolutely. It just obviously doesn't make for a great conversation on a podcast to be like, it's on one location and it's pretty good, you know? So maybe calling it Schrodinger's cat is a little giveaway. I don't know.
I didn't know what you were about to say. Not that you'd already done it.
Oh, okay. So essentially it's, about a group of friends that are having a dinner party. As Chris alluded to, it is a one location thing, very low budget. And a lot of it was improvised, which is really cool. The director kind of went to, the actors and said like, these are your goals, go make it happen. And sometimes conflicting goals is something that you told me, which was pretty cool, and you can get into that later. The film is incredibly well done and dense for an independent low budget one location thing, kind of like Primer vibes as far as like the breadth of sci-fi fuckery that's going on in it and how well they managed to pull it off.
It's one of those films you could easily watch once a month or a couple times a year, revisit and find new details. And I know a lot of people that say they press play as soon as it ended because they were like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's so much value there. And it's great because It only cost $50,000. It was shot at the director's house. There was 5 crew members. There's 8 actors. And it's a wonder. It's one of those movies where you're like, holy shit, I could make a movie, you know, as long as if I had a good enough script and $50,000. No.
And some friends that are down.
And some friends. Right. Exactly.
Friends that are down.
I didn't watch it. Andy finally, I've been getting told to watch this by people on TikTok for months. And I'm like, it's on my watch list. It's on my watch list for sure. And then Andy finally called me and just, I didn't even know
that it was like a hot topic on TikTok. I never
talked to him about it.
It was right after I had finished watching Enemy. I was like, I'm in the mood for another mindfuck movie. And so I just Googled mindfuck movies.
Yeah.
And Coherence was one that popped up. I was like, hey dude, I found this gem of an indie nobody's heard of. And you're like, it's all over TikTok.
And I'm like,
of course it is.
This must be synchronicity. Okay, I'll watch it.
I was the fucking Eternal Sunshine guy. I heard about this movie. I found this movie. I discovered it. Eternal Sunshine is going to blow your mind.
Yeah.
I was that guy. Peacock Plus. It's a streaming service that I hopped onto
Peacock
recently.
What?
Peacock Plus.
Thank you.
I apologize.
Is there a Peacock Plus?
Yeah. What is Peacock Plus?
It's just access to...
Extra cock.
Extra cack. it's
no one subscribing. What do we do? They get more cock in there.
Peacock ropes in some exclusive streaming rights to some stuff. So, for example, right now they're the only ones where you can stream The Northman, which is another episode that we or another film that we reviewed in depth that you guys can listen to.
Interesting
on our show.
Great film.
Peacock, Northman. Huh? Northman is on there right now on Peacock Plus. But the reason that I had subscribed to it because I had heard that this film was better than it deserved to be. I popped on there because they also right now have the exclusive streaming rights to Ambulance.
Ambulance.
The new Michael Bay film. Also starring Jake Gyllenhaal and Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, about a group, two brothers that go on a heist, that do a bank robbery and ultimately end up in an ambulance and things ensue. It is really good. There's some awesome drone shots in there, like cinematography. Michael Bay always has some pretty cool cinematography. He's a big action guy. And
that's the one thing you can't take away from Michael Bay is he knows how to make things look good.
Yeah. And it was like surprisingly coherent.
Coherence.
just, you know, for a Michael Bay film, it tends to be spectacle and empty brains. And we got
when did Optimus Prime show up?
That was in the like lead into the third act, but it was only a cameo. And
Jake Gyllenhaal.
They did it tastefully.
We have to roll out. Bumblebee.
But yeah, Bumblebee. Man, it surprised me. I had thought that it was going to be just schlock, and it is to an extent, but it was also a pretty fucking good
time. It's good schlock. It's pee schlock.
Yeah.
Pee schlock plus.
Whenever people talk about that movie, they always bring something up about like, oh man, the spleen scene or something like that. Does anything to you guys?
There's a spleen scene. It's you want to talk about it a little bit?
It's an exploding spleen. Yeah. So at one point during this movie, one of the actors has to perform surgery without being qualified to do so on another character. And while in the ambulance, while it's going 90 miles an hour and being shot at by police and stuff. So things happen. And apparently spleens are really sensitive and they will burst if jostled. Do not jostle the spleen. Mm. I really liked Ambulance too. I thought it was about 25 minutes too long.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
As is most Michael Bay movies.
Yeah, but like a lot of people said like, this movie fucking rocks. Like Michael Bay's back. This is like Armageddon good. You know what I mean? And I was like, it better be Armageddon better.
Well, it's Armageddon good.
I'm getting out of here.
And I didn't find that to be true, but I was like really entertained for sure. It just drags. But yeah.
Yeah. Also on Peacock Plus, it's actually Peacock Premium, but we're going to call them Plus, right? I mean.
Oh, they didn't plus it?
They didn't plus it. They preemed it.
That's why no one's subscribing.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's bad marketing.
People are like, premium, I have to pay a lot of money, but you get that plus. You're like, oh, I get more stuff.
Oh, it's extra.
Yeah. Joe Carnahan film from last year, Cop Shop. Chris had told me about this film, and it sounded awesome, and it was.
Is that with the butler?
That is with the butler. It's also got Frank Grillo in it and a few other people, but it's essentially about an assassin that gets himself arrested to try to take out a guy that's on the run. And it has sort of like Smoking Aces vibes, where it's, you know, irreverent action assassin guys all targeting kind of one person. So in that regard, it's actually, it's a shitload like Smokin' Aces now that I think about it. But it was really funny. It had some cool action sequences. Yeah. Right.
Bullet Train's going to have that vibe too, I would imagine.
Yeah. It seems like it. There's definitely this like, Tarantino-esque resurgence that we had in like the early 2000s and seems like it's coming back.
Yeah.
This film was, again, like a kind of a single location thing. It all takes place pretty much inside of a police precinct.
And like a small town one, like lock and key cells.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it was so funny. One of the assassins that appears had some of the funniest lines. And I don't want to spoil them because it's kind of like you see it in a trailer and then it's like you see it in the theater. And you're like, that's funny, but it would have been a lot funnier if you didn't know. So I'm not going to spoil those, but I had a really good time with it. And then lastly, I hopped over onto HBO Max and Barry season 3. All of that, I think, has happened since the last time we did our crossing stream.
Yeah, I didn't even talk to you about the finale yet. I don't think.
We need to once we turn this off. Maybe we can do that on our after hours episode. But it was it got dark fast, man. And it felt like it needed to. Like, it's almost like they kind of came to terms with the reality of the characters that they had created and the situations that they had put them in, and where can we go from here to maintain some semblance of realism. And yeah, it was real uncomfortable for the first couple of episodes, and it lightened up and it got more Barry-esque as the season went on. But the first couple of episodes, I was like, I don't know if I'm having fun anymore. Like, it's still really good. Like, it's, you know, S-tier TV, like I'd easily put it up there with like Breaking Bad and stuff. But yeah, for a second I was just like, this is starting to become a show that I need to be in the right headspace to watch instead of just one that I'm always down for. But they threaded that needle absolutely perfectly. And once again, they had a episode of this show, and I think it was like episode 6 maybe, that was just like its centerpiece awesome action that kind of travels across the city. They did it again, and it was just as good, if not better. Wasn't as funny. Like the father-daughter episode is one of the funniest episodes of TV of all time. But the action on this dirt bike sequence that happens in Barry season 3 was absolutely fucking batshit cool. The way they filmed it and put it together, it was awesome. Have you had a chance yet, Steve, to watch Barry?
I have not.
God, you got to get on that.
I know.
Like, do you even watch the show at all?
I haven't even seen season 2.
Dude, as somebody who's taken your acting classes and stuff,
right? I know, right?
Like, it would fit so fucking well for your lifestyle.
I loved season 1 of Barry, but it's just one of those shows, like, season 2 came out and
they're like 25-minute episodes,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they're really easy to digest. It's just one of those things where, like, I always forget it's out. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I get it. I mean, there's so many things where I just fall off and I'm like, oh yeah, oh shit, God, I'm so excited for that, and then I just don't watch it. And for no reason.
Dude, you have to watch season 2 at least, because that one episode that I'm talking about really is one of the funniest things to ever be on TV.
Yeah,
it's so funny.
As far as from a writing perspective, from an acting perspective, it's great. But just since you're so into improv and stuff right now, like some of the beats that they hit, they're so advanced as far as comedy. Like, there's the expectation, the setup, then the subversion, then the subversion of the subversion. And like, it's just so like layered and awesome. But yeah, I mean, season 3 is dark, super dark, and be prepared for that. Cause I was not, I was like, ha 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 ha.
When do the jokes start?
I'm laughing, but I don't feel like I should be kind of thing. But yeah,
that's pretty much the big ones that I wanted to bring up for what I've been streaming lately. What about you guys?
Steve, I know you got a couple things that you're just going to go hammer time on, buddy. You've been holding this in. You love Stranger Things, but there's a few things you guys might not know about Steve that he's passionate about. You probably aren't. Most people aren't, right? One of them is Star Trek. And
yep.
And the other one has something to do with creatures of yesteryear. But I'm so eager to hear your thoughts on both of these things because they're big news. Steve, take it away.
Well, we're going to start with a positive because you guys know me. I don't like to be super, super negative on things. So there's a couple things on my list that I'm not super thrilled about, but it's one of those things where, like, I'm not going to harp on. I'm not going to beat a dead horse. I'm just going to say I like it. I don't like it.
Yeah, it's like the horse is dead.
There is one thing in here. I'm going to curb stomp the shit out of this horse. All right. I'm going to clip its legs on the track. I'm going to put it on a pallet. I'm going to ship it to the glue factory and I'm going to huff that glue. All right. And I'm going to do it laughing. All right. But before that, I do want to start off on a positive.
Okay. Yeah, that was like Barry season 3 in a nutshell right there.
Yeah. So, as Chris mentioned, I am a recent Star Trek fan. My New Year's resolution this year is to watch all of Star Trek minus the original series.
You're going
to
trek those stars?
So no Shatner.
No Shatner. I started Shatner. Off with...
I hardly know her.
God damn it. One of the worst jokes ever made on this show. But I love it. No, but I started
with...
It
has everything to do with us.
I started with The Next Generation, watched all of that, moved on to Voyager, watched a bunch of that. But it was one of those things where, like, I got to a point in Voyager and this new Star Trek show, Star Trek Strange New Worlds, was coming out on Paramount Plus. And I saw the trailer for it and immediately was like, okay, I got to put Voyager on pause and I got to watch this shit because this looks dope. If you guys don't know, Star Trek Strange New Worlds is on Paramount Plus. It takes place before the original series. So there are actually characters in the original series that appear in the show, including Spock, including Uhura. And I don't know if you guys knew this, but the original pilot episode of Star Trek, the original series, featured a completely different crew. Like, it wasn't... Captain Kirk. It was Captain Pike. And he had a different first officer. I think Uhura and Spock were still in there. But when they greenlit the series, it became the crew that everyone is like, you know, the iconic crew that everyone knows and loves today.
Yeah. I did not know that.
That's like the one episode that I have seen.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Where they go to like Talos 4 or something like that?
I was just like, I don't know who these people are. And yeah, that was my experience with Star Trek.
Well, Strange New Worlds is like, hey, what if that was just Star Trek? What if we took those characters and actually saw what their adventures were? So it's
Captain Pike and the gang?
Yes, Captain Pike and the gang. Captain Pike is played by Anson Mount. You may know him from recently. He was in Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness as Black Bolt. Mm-hmm. He was also in the Inhumans as the main character. And, you know, he embodies... He's so good in the role. He reminds me of, like, if you guys have played the Uncharted games, he's like a Nathan Drake. He's very much like, you can see, like, if this guy is Captain Kirk's mentor, you can see, like, he's got that Kirkness to him.
He's Kirky.
There's a guy, his name is Ethan Peck. He plays Spock, and I think he's a really, really great Spock. He's not trying really hard to do an impersonation of Leonard Nimoy.
He did shave his eyebrows, though. Did you know that?
Which person?
The actor.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So the guy who played, I read this on Twitter the other day. I don't watch the show, but he shaved his eyebrows so they could draw the Spock eyebrows on. And I don't know.
That's great. That's
good commitment. Cause you gotta think, he's walking around for 6 weeks with no eyebrows in between takes. Like, hey guys, what's up? And everyone's like, ah.
And it's just a really, really wonderful show. Like, if you're really into sci-fi, I highly recommend you check it out. If you liked the aesthetic of like the 2009 J.J. Abrams Star Trek, this show is like that aesthetic on crack.
Mm, I like crack.
Minus the lens flares.
Big there, fan.
I'm like, yummy. Powder. But no, it's really great. I love it because
the lens flares.
It looks beautiful. The set's really amazing. They do really interesting shot composition. Like, it's such a small thing, but the opening intro animation of the show, because usually, you know how all Star Trek shows start, it's like space. The final frontier.
Yeah.
These are the voyages of whoever the fuck we're going
and
on.
And it goes, dun dun.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wait, that's Law and Order.
But it's always like,
that's Netflix.
Executive producer Dick Wolf. And usually you see like planets and stuff or like the stars, but it's such a small thing. But I love in the intro when they start that, you see lights turn on and then you realize, oh, you think it's stars, but it's like, oh, these are the lights of the spaceship. I don't know. They do really interesting shots like that I'm a huge fan of. And because of that, I realized, oh, not only is this the prequel series with this original crew, apparently they alluded to this crew in a different show called Star Trek Discovery. And this is almost a sequel to Star Trek Discovery. So because Star Trek Strange New Worlds only comes out once a week on on Thursdays on Paramount Plus, I was like, well, I need my Star Trek fix. So I started watching all of Discovery starting in season one. And I think I've been trying to get you guys to watch anything Star Trek for a while now.
I watched the JJ movies.
Well, show-wise.
Nah.
I think I can get you to watch at least an episode of Discovery. Let me tell you why.
Is Kristen Stewart in it?
No.
Stop the show.
That would have been a fucking lock. But let me tell you some of the actors that are in it.
Okay.
Do you guys like Michelle Yeoh?
I love Michelle Yeoh.
Do you like Jason Isaacs?
I do.
Like Jason Isaacs. Do you like Doug Jones?
Yeah. I'm just kidding. Yeah, Doug Jones is great.
Do you like, well, let me rephrase that. Do you like Doug Jones and creepy alien makeup?
Yes.
Well, we got that. it's a great cast. There, Tig Notaro, isn't it?
Tig Notaro is great.
She's Tig Notaro as a surly, I think she's an engineer. It's a great show. There's a couple things in like the second season that they're kind of getting into. I'm like, not feeling the storyline. But overall, I really liked what they did with the script. You know, they kind of flipped it. Instead of being, because a lot of Star Trek shows are very, you know, episodic, like this is the episode of the week and then we won't reference that ever again. Mm-hmm. Discovery was really the first one to have a continuing storyline episode to episode that fed into
modern TV.
Yeah, like a modern TV show. So, and I think they did a pretty decent job with it. My understanding is it's a pretty controversial show amongst Trek fans. But
the Trekkies, if you will.
Yeah, the Trekkers.
Is it Trekker?
I don't know. Someone once told me that they think Trekkie is derogatory, but Trekker is okay. And I'm like, bad call on that one. I don't know if that's true, but yeah.
But they wanted the hard R.
They wanted the hard R, right. Yeah. But moving on to the thing, I think I know Chris has been waiting for this for a while. As you guys know, you put a light in my face. Am I being interrogated? Was
that? Spotlighted, my dude.
Jurassic Park may be my favorite movie of all time. The 1993 Jurassic Park, directed by Steven Spielberg. I think that's...
It's all right.
Andy, I will fight you. I think it's a damn near perfect movie. It is the definition of what I expect blockbusters to be. And that's why most fall short. But that's okay. So in my excitement and against my better judgment, I went and saw Jurassic World Dominion this weekend. And as my TV production professor in NKU once said, it was not good, guys, not good. This movie may be the most baffling film I've ever seen, soup to nuts. Little backstory, if you guys don't know. So the whole promise of this movie, right? You've seen the ads. What would you say the promise is of this movie?
The new gang has to meet up with the old gang and they do shenanigans to try to stop the dinosaurs from taking over the world.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
because the dinosaurs are now in the world.
In the world.
Yes.
Okay. So we had to suffer through the fucking catastrophe that was Fallen Kingdom to get to this premise. Because as you watch Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, you can tell that movie only exists to get the dinosaurs off the island.
Right.
You can tell that Colin Trevorrow wanted to make Dominion, but in order to make this movie, he had to make a transitional film, and that's what Fallen Kingdom is. And so going into this, I'm like, okay, I'm not really looking forward to this. The trailers make it look kind of lame, but you know, this is what Colin Trevorrow has been wanting to do since 2015. Let's see what he's got. And you know what this son of a bitch does in the first 15 minutes of the movie? Puts the dinosaurs back in a park.
For real?
Basically, there are montages that bookend the film and the beginning and the end that show the dinosaurs out in the world. But it's all stock footage that they just digitally insert dinosaurs into, and it's really cheap and lame. And every decision from a script level, every decision that happens is so, I don't know what they're going for. Like, why did you decide to do this? I told Chris and Andy the script for Jurassic World Dominion leaked online like 6 months ago, and I read it.
Did you really?
I did, because there was a big, like a lot of people were like, script leak, and a lot of people were like, fake, that's not the script. And so there was like a little bit of a controversy about it online. So I'm like, well, let me see what let me put my finger on the scales and see what the dinosaur scales and see what we got here. And so I read the script. And when I got done with the script, I thought, that's so fucking dumb. That's not the movie. No way. And then the trailer dropped, Andy. And there's one shot in the trailer. Literally, it was just a second in the trailer. And I was like, oh shit, that script was real. This movie's going to be terrible.
Oh no.
And I watched the movie and it was 100% that script. And, you know, minor spoilers. I don't know if this is really a spoiling anything, but there is more to do in the plot of this film dealing with locusts than dinosaurs.
Okay.
You're making a Jurassic World movie. You've spent two movies trying to get the dinosaurs out in the world. And right when you get to the point of making that movie, you go, let's make it about big bugs.
Big bugs.
Let's make it about big bugs. And then they bring characters back from the first film, which on paper sound really exciting, but the direction they take it is like, if you didn't tell me that character's name, I would not have known that was the character from the first
movie. I've heard they had Laura Dern say somebody was in her DMs and everybody was really mad.
Slid into her DMs. Yep, that is a line that Laura Dern, National Treasure, says. And the directing, you can tell, is... It's almost like Colin Trevorrow directed half of this movie and someone else directed the other half. Like, it's really discombobulating. They go from scene to scene and you're just like, this looks like a completely different movie. And then you go to the next one. This is also a completely different movie. There's no visual coherence to scenes. Characters are making dumb choices after dumb choices after dumb choices. There are no... moment. There's really no memorable dinosaur kills. Like it's, you remember when the trailer came out and I made so much fun of the scene in the trailer where the guy gets eaten off the bird scooter?
Yeah.
That's the best kill in the movie.
Oh my God.
And that is saying something, because that's stupid as shit. there's one memorable action scene in the middle. It's the scene from the trailers where he's on the bike and the raptors are chasing him through the city. That part of it is good, but everything around it is really bad. Like, somehow we went from Jurassic Park, where one of the best parts of that movie is these grown-up characters sitting around a table and discussing the moral ethics of, do we have the right to clone creatures? Are we playing God? And all that stuff. To in this movie, there's literally a dude who walks around in a giant leather duster. He's got creepy hair and he's like, I'm gonna pawn the dinosaurs in the sex pits. And it's like, what is this movie? Oh, yeah, there's a part where they go into an underground dinosaur place, and it just looks like all those people are having sex with the dinosaurs. I guarantee you, all those people are looking way too close to their little Dilophosauruses. Those dinosaurs are being used for sex.
Boo, no!
That's the movie I want to see.
Yeah, so if you really want to see something dinosaur-related, either turn on Jurassic Park or turn on Prehistoric Planet on Apple TV+.
It's weird because I think it's the only franchise known to man where the first movie is so good, a lauded masterpiece, and every subsequent sequel, that's hard to say.
It is hard to say.
Every subsequent sequel is regarded as trash, right?
And that's, I know some people think Lost World's pretty good or okay. And
I like Lost World for what it is. It's a mess.
I feel that way about Jurassic World. I don't mind it at all. My son loved it. I watched it a bunch of times. It's fun.
Jurassic World's fine.
But it's so interesting. Like, there's no other franchise like that.
Yeah. I was trying to, on Twitter, I ranked all the Jurassic Park films after I saw this one. And I was sitting with Fallen Kingdom and Dominion, like, who do I put in last? And I was comparing and contrasting and weighing them, like, well, I hate the story of Fallen
Kingdom. They're both worse than three to you.
Yes, hands down. Fallen Kingdom is...
Because three is laughably bad.
Well, the good thing about three is it's 90 minutes long.
That's true.
Dominion is two hours and 40 minutes long.
No, it's not.
It is. It is long as shit. And it's just, by the end of the movie, you're like, what even happened? What have we been doing this whole goddamn time?
I will probably never see it, to be honest with you.
If I have to see Chris Pratt hold his hand up to a dinosaur.
One more time.
I'm sorry. I know I'm going along this, but this is one thing, other thing I have to get off my chest about the Jurassic World movie specifically. I don't give a shit about Blue the Raptor. These movies want me to care so much about this raptor. I hate that thing. It is a monster. It should be put down. I don't like that the heroes are like, let it just roam free in Wyoming. It won't kill people.
Definitely will.
It will. It's a monster.
Unless they put their hand up.
Oh, well, that's true. Well, unless Chris Pratt puts his hand
up. It's only Chris Pratt? Yeah. It's not any old hand.
It's a Pratt hand.
It's a good hand.
He's like, that's a good Christian boy's hand. I'm going to listen. Okay, well, so that's my review.
Sorry, buddy. I know you were really looking forward to that.
Again, go watch Prehistoric Planet on Apple TV Plus if you want to see dinosaurs.
I watched a little bit of that. It's pretty awesome.
At least then you get better CGI.
You get David Attenborough's
and
voice.
David Attenborough, who's like, this is a T-Rex, and he swims now.
He's got little litty arms.
Look at his feathers. Have you seen, speaking of leaked scripts, Colin Trevorrow's episode 9 script leaked as well?
I have.
I heard it's good. Did you read it?
Yeah, I've read it. I think the story is better because it continues the story of Last Jedi. Uh-huh. So I'm a fan of it there. But at the same time, I don't necessarily think it would be a better movie.
Steve, what else have you been streaming? Anything else that you want to highlight or talk about?
I went pretty long. I do want to shout out. You might talk about this, Chris, and maybe this will be a good transition. But on Disney Plus, you can watch Marvel's latest show, Ms. Marvel.
I didn't plan on it, but actually, yes, I did watch the first episode of Ms. Marvel. And I know nothing about the comics. I think they're relatively new. Like those comics were written in, what, 2014 or something like that?
Yeah, they're pretty new. I don't know if that's the right date.
Which is
yeah.
extremely new for compared to the properties that we usually see in movies, right? Those are from like the 30s and the 60s. But I loved this show. I think it's got the strongest debut episode of any of the Marvel Disney Plus shows. I thought it was a gas, if you will.
Hoot.
I didn't watch episode 2 yet. As we're recording this, it's been out for 4 or 5 days and I haven't seen it yet, but I want to. I've just been watching a bunch of stuff for TikTok and things like that I have to watch, but it's been, it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. I actually watched it twice.
Have you seen it yet,
Andy? I have not. I've heard that it's like maybe the best Disney Marvel thing. So
yeah, it's a lot like Scott Pilgrim. Vibes are great. It's
like Scott Pilgrim and Into the Spider-Verse kind of meshed together.
As good as that sounds.
Is she the one that's kind of like,
it's up there.
Kind of like Mr. Fantastic, but her fist gets real big and
yes.
stuff?
Yes.
Okay, she was in the Avengers video game.
Yes.
Kamala
Khan.
They changed her powers.
Oh, okay.
That's not what you're thinking, because I guess they didn't want to have to, that might have been visually too hokey or something.
Well, it's probably too similar to Reed Richards, who's going to be in the Fantastic Four movie, mm-hmm. who has like basically the same power set of stretchy hands.
That's true.
So what's she doing this?
It's the same thing. It's not the spoilers, I guess, but they basically like energy vibe it. So it's just like
more like Green Lantern.
It's an
now.
Energy. Yes. It's a lot like Green Lantern, which they're okay with because it's DC. Yeah. Fuck them. We'll steal it. Should have got the movie right. We're doing it. Yeah. It's exactly like Green Lantern. Okay. It's like a giant energy fist and stuff like that.
Yeah, the first episode is incredibly heartwarming, but also really funny. And then visually, it's the most visually creative thing Marvel's done in ever, maybe.
Well,
live action wise.
Shang-Chi, I thought, was visually brilliant, personally. But yes, I think you're still correct in stating that. For sure. Yeah. So that's one thing that I've been watching that was really, really good. I think most people have probably checked that out. But I've been watching a ton of stuff. I'll try to go hit the highlights for sure. Stranger Things. I don't know if I've talked about this. So I fucking wrote Stranger Things on there.
Did you really?
I was making fun of myself. You guys might have heard about this, or I don't know if you've checked it out yet, but Bo Burnham dropped his bonus footage for the film Inside on YouTube. Did you watch it?
Yeah.
It's called the Inside Outtakes, which I thought was really clever. You know, I'm a fan of puns. We all are here on this show. Our listeners know that. But if you haven't checked it out, it's on YouTube. It's really, really good. It's really, really good. There's some bangers on there that I'm surprised he cut out of the main show. Are you really going to make me vote for Joe Biden? That's a banger. He's just a brilliant man. Big fan of Bo Burnham. That was a lot of fun. Did either of you watch? I guess you would have talked about it. I always go last and I always do this thing. Did either of you watch? That's a really terrible segue. No, Chris, because I would have fucking mentioned it. But sometimes Andy will throw me for a loop.
Forget stuff.
And so, be like, yes, I did. Adam Sandler has a new movie on Netflix.
Oh, Hustle. I haven't watched it yet.
It's called Hustle. It's really good. It's really good. I'm a sucker for sports movies. I've told you guys this before, even though I don't.
You're not a sports ball person,
but I love sports movies. They work on me every time. Something about
you like an underdog,
the striving for excellence, the underdog, the practice makes perfect mentality. Maybe I should play sports.
Sandra Bullock just holding your hand through it all.
Yeah, but that was a Blindside reference. But Adam Sandler's funny, but he does a lot of his like dramatic acting chops in this movie.
Oh, awesome.
It's a mixture of like Punch Drunk Love, Adam Sandler, No Uncut Gems Adam Sandler, and Big Daddy Adam Sandler. Like at one point, the 25-year-old basketball player that he's training is like, I wipe my own ass. It's weird, but it's a good callback. Really good movie. Near and dear to my heart, finally, after years, I was able to watch season 6 of Peaky Blinders.
Love this show.
My favorite shows of all time. You talk about casts. If Kristen Stewart was in this show, I would literally watch nothing else because it has Cillian Murphy. It has Anya Taylor-Joy. And it has Tom Hardy, right? Which are three of my favorite people on the planet. All in one show, acting their asses off. It's a gangster movie. Crime is my favorite genre of film. So it couldn't be more for me. But the thing about BBC shows, and our UK listeners will probably laugh at me, but they take years between seasons and it really bothers me. And we had COVID. So it's been 3 or 4 years since Peaky Blinders, and it's a really complicated, dense, slow burn show. And so I was like a little lost and a little scared that I wouldn't enjoy it as much because it's been so long, but it hops right back in. It was a really good recap. But what I'm mixed on the season, I thought it was brilliant as ever. Great writing, really dark, like the protagonists, which are like, you know, kind of terrible people. They're murderers and stuff. It's getting towards the end, so they're spiraling down a lot more. They're getting much less likable, right? But I thought this was going to be the last season. It's the final season of Peaky Blinders. They've been advertising that forever. But apparently, they're trying to make a feature film to wrap the whole show up. And some people know that to be true. I didn't know that. So I get to the finale, and things don't quite bow up at all. And I'm like sitting there like, what the fuck? Oh no, I hate this. And then I'm like reading online. They're like, oh, I can't wait for the movie. And I'm like, oh, thank God. Like, what the fuck? So anybody who watches the show, you know that feeling at the end, but that was so good. That was so, so good. And I want to talk about this movie too, because I know neither of you have seen it. It's called The Outfit. I watched it. I think I rented it for like $5 on Apple TV.
Ben?
It has Mark Rylance is the star, and it has Dylan O'Brien. And it has Zoe Deutsch. Those are the three biggest stars. That's another one location-ish. No, 100% one location movie. It all takes place in a tailor shop. It was so good. It's one of my favorite movies of the year. I will fight tooth and nail, no matter how many great films I continue to see, to keep this on my top 10 list at the end of
the year.
Where
can you stream that?
I rented it. So Apple TV or Amazon. It might be streamable somewhere else very soon. Usually it takes about a month once it's rentable. But it was so good. It's such a chewing of the scenery type film. Mark Rylance plays this old British. He doesn't like Taylor. I'm not a tailor.
Is he a tinker? Maybe a soldier. How about a spy?
He's a cutter. Oh, you can watch it on the Peacock.
The Peacock.
The Peacock Premium, apparently. So he's not a tailor. A tailor, anybody can be a tailor. He's a cutter. And he says that a couple of times. It's really funny. I'm not a tailor. I'm a cutter. Because he trained his whole life to make clothing. But anyway, he's from England, but this takes place in Chicago. So everybody else, this is like in the 30s. So everybody else is like these, yeah, see, kind of gangsters. And oh, the old fucking British guy over there. He ain't going to talk to nobody. And so anyway.
It's, a wise guy.
Cut me up a suit. It's really, really good. It's really cool. I was very surprised by that. Let's see, The Boys season 3. Nah, nah, nah.
I watched The Boys or like first two episodes.
The Boys is fire. Everybody knows that. Yeah. A new show just came out on Hulu as we're talking. I think yesterday or the day before, I watched the first episode of it. I'm going to go watch it when we get done here in a second. It's called The Old Man. Have you guys heard about this?
Mm-mm. Andy?
Yeah, it's about a guy who eats Heath bars. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It stars Jeff Bridges, who is in fact an old man. He's 72 now. He's like a retired CIA agent and, things happen very quickly, but it's just Jeff Bridges and two dogs for the first little bit. And
sounds like a party.
It's so good. I didn't know it was like shot like a horror film. It's a horror thriller.
That's badass.
But just by the way the camera moves and him be, and they don't like make him an old man who still kicks ass like they do, but it's not like, oh, okay, it's Liam Neeson, I guess. Because he's like, you can see him physically struggling because he's 70 plus years old, right?
It's like, and nobody kind of.
Yeah, like they wanted that. And it's really, really good. I mean, Jeff Bridges is fucking amazing, right? He always is. So I highly recommend you check that. That just came out yesterday, I think. That's really good. And then I want to, lastly, also on Hulu, I watched a show that I don't hear anybody talking about, which is kind of crazy to me. I mean, it's not like groundbreaking, but it's definitely something to talk about. It's a show called Pistol. Also on Hulu.
Oh, yeah. You're telling me about this.
And it's about the Sex Pistols and their rise to stardom in the mid-70s in England. And it's some really standout performances. Specifically, the most interesting probably is that Maisie Williams, who played Arya in Game of Thrones, is back. She's made some interesting choices since leaving Game of Thrones. Like, nothing good. Like, there was a show on HBO Max. I don't remember what it was, but I was really rooting for her because she's in
New Mutants, wasn't it?
Well, she's in the New Mutants movie, which I actually liked more than anybody else because it also has Anya Taylor-Joy. But
I thought that was a show.
No, it was a movie. But she was in a show on HBO Max where she plays like this little homeless girl that gets into. I don't even remember. I didn't keep watching it.
We went to a premiere. I went to a premiere of one of her movies at Heartland Film Festival, and it was like I think Jessica Biel produced it, and it starred Jason Sudeikis and Maisie Williams, and she played like some New Orleans child who had she was going for a Creole accent, but it was pretty rough.
Yeah, like I don't know what she's doing or what, you know, it's like I did a whole video series about like stars that you thought would be in all these things. And Sophie Turner is another one. It's like huge star of this massive, biggest show in the world, hugely talented, and then just disappears after doing one bad X-Men movie. That's what both the girls did.
Well, she's got that Jonas money now, dude.
Well, I had heard, I didn't put her in the video because my wife told me, I think she has like some severe mental health issues and like eating disorder stuff. Okay. And like she had two kids. So she's dealing with that, raising her family. And I was like, oh, okay. That makes a lot of sense. Actually, it's not just like nobody's offering her roles. It's just, she's decided not to work. Right.
Mm-hmm. Good for her.
But Maisie Williams, what are you doing? But no, this show's really good. I enjoyed it. I binged it. It's fascinating. I didn't know much about the Sex Pistols. I didn't like that band when I was a kid. I was not a punk guy. I was a grunge guy. They were diametrically opposed. I don't know if you knew this, Steve.
I honestly did not.
And so there was punk kids. They were weird. They would like blow snot rockets on you.
Oh, you mean the culture of punk kids,
yeah, but grunge kids. But then by nature, I also couldn't like the music because I was a small-minded adolescent, right? you know, we would get in the mosh pit, we would look out for one another, but the punk kids, they would like straight up drop kick you and stuff. And I hated them, right? So I'm not gonna listen to their music. But I gotta admit, I do like, you know, Antichrist. Like it's funny. Yeah. You know, I'm learning about this band through this show, and it's like they were intentionally bad. It was a fuck you to the establishment. We know we can't play our instruments. And like the show is fascinating to me. It's just like this guy you're the guitarist now. And he's like, I don't know how to play guitar. And he's like, well, figure it out. It can't be that fucking hard. And he just does a bunch of speed and stays up for 3 days plucking at the strings. And then when they go to band practice, he can like play three chords and they're like, that's a song. Great. And anyway, I thought it was really fascinating because I didn't know anything about the show. Apparently, Johnny Rotten, John Lydon, I think is his name. He's still alive. He's really mad about the show. The whole show is based on a book about Steve. The guitarist's name is Steve something. And the book was about him. And so he's kind of the main protagonist of the show. Maisie Williams is like vastly different than you've ever seen her before. She's playing this crazy punk icon from England. I think goes by the name Jordan. Anyway, that's called Pistol. I hadn't heard anybody talk about it because I think it came out a couple of days after Stranger Things 4. And so it probably got lost under the Kate Bush. You know, sure. Nobody's listening to the Sex Pistols when there's Kate Bush. Andy, I told you to watch it. Did you end up watching any of it?
I did. I watched like the first episode.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. Isn't
yeah, it? Yeah. I don't like the Sex Pistols. So
same, but it's like interesting to me still. Like sure. I read a lot of like music biopic books. I don't know what they're called when they're books, biography stuff. What the fuck did I just do?
Can you fucking snip that and send it to me? I'm gonna make that my fucking ringtone.
What are they called when it's a biopic but with a book? I'm an English literature major. I've become dumber over the course of my life by far.
What did I just
do? Anyhoozle, I love those words. God, man. But I like the stories of that. Like Anthony Kiedis wrote an autobiography about himself.
Scar Tissue's great.
Scar Tissue's great. I read the Dave Grohl one. You know, when I was a kid, I read countless books on Kurt Cobain. And I just think that stuff's interesting. Like there's a Led Zeppelin biography that I read. That's really, really interesting. Mm-hmm. They're basically terrible people and stole a bunch of music and did a bunch of drugs. But, I think that stuff's fascinating. So it's just interesting to me to learn about the growth of the Sex Pistols.
Yeah,
cool. So that's called Pistol. I watched some other movies and stuff, but we're going on a little too long. We just wanted to drop some knowledge on you guys, some things we've been watching recently. Hopefully you can check them out if you hadn't heard about them or hadn't decided to watch them yet. Maybe that'll push you toward it. Mm-hmm. Like I'm sure Steve sold thousands of people on watching Jurassic World Dominion that were on the fence.
They're I kind of want to watch it more just to see the train.
That's what I've heard though. I don't think it's so bad. It's good in any way. Right.
I would not. Yeah, no.
It's just like, especially 2 hours and 40 minutes. Like, yeah. That's never a so bad. It's good. Like Jurassic Park 3 is like fun. Like, holy shit, that doesn't look real at all.
Yeah. Oh man, you're going to get me started again. You better.
No. I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't watch anything bad. I did see Top Gun Maverick a second time. Holds up from a couple weeks ago.
Holds up.
Yeah. So that's all the time we have for right now. We hope you enjoyed that. Stay tuned for more Stranger Things 4 coverage. Of course, my name is Chris.
I'm Andy.
And I'm Steve.
And this was Streaming Things. Happy streaming.
It's time to thank the patrons. These are the people who keep the lights on. And we're just going to give you a nice little shout out. So we're going to do this one quick and dirty. Here we go. Thank you so much, Phil, Carmelita, Carrie, Enza. Thank you, Cake, Katie, Jimmy, Sarah, E. Lopez, Kyle, Thomas, Shay, Stephen the Fifth, A. Wells, Danielle, Kimberly, Andrew, Robin, Michelle, Ashley, Jade, Mindy, Alex, David, Jocelyn. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Jocelyn. If it's not, please write it in and give me more of a phonetic way of pronouncing that. And also that applies to anyone else. If I'm reading your name wrong, just let me know. Cause I live in constant fear of getting your names incorrect, but thank you. Again, Jocelyn. Thank you, Amelia. Thank you, Katharina. Thank you, John, Jared, Orion, Jacob, Reese, Mark Hughes 1850. That's another one. I don't know. I've only seen these words written down. Let me know how I am to pronounce your name. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Lady Pris. Thank you, Cody, Gavin, Casey, Cryptoholic, AJ, Hannah, Joel, Tyler, Jessica, and the Reed family. So thank you guys, all of you. There's so many of you now. There's over 40 people now. That's incredible. Thank you so much from us at Streaming Things, and we hope you enjoy all of the great content, and we will see you later.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.